Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And today's guest is Naomi Raymond, who is a blogger, that is to say, a writer. And her, well, I'm just going to let you say what your website is. And I'm going to go right to you because we just met. And I know probably not even enough to ask an intelligent question of you, except that I see that you appeared with a letter.
Yes.
So you talk about family and you and say your blog name, please.
My blog, well, first of all, Janet, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
And
thank you for saying yes.
As soon as I leave, I'm going to rip that beautiful necklace off my neck and take it home as my souvenir of today. My blog and how you heard of me is writesbetterwithcoffee.com. Mm-hmm. And I am enjoying sort of a renaissance in my life thanks to a bike accident that occurred 2 years ago. Up until then, for 9 years, I was an owner of a Pilates studio in Marin County and taught and loved every single solitary minute of that. I had a very thriving practice. But I was in Santa Barbara and met the pavement my bike, broke my hip, and have never fully recovered, so it was a good time to exit. But I have a tendency to move quickly through career paths, so Pilates afforded me not only the opportunity to work one-on-one with people and help them discover things about their sense of self, which of course includes body, but also mind and spirit.
Right. So we kind of come together at that intersection.
Do we?
Because isn't that what so much of life is about? Helping people shine, letting other people shine, and showing them where they can.
Well, I think for me, that was really the juice.
I can see that.
Of Pilates. Yes. I'd never entered that field to be a personal trainer, although, of course, that was the work, but the real impetus for me to get up every morning and meet with another client was to find and to discover potential, I think. And that, it was a two-way street. That's the best part, as I'm sure you know.
Same, yes, that's wonderful.
Here.
Okay, I'm glad you put it that way.
This one day, I went for a Pilates conference in Santa Barbara and took out the wrong bike, fell off my bike, and...
Were you taken right to a hospital?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
That's the place to go, by the way.
Well,
you have to go straight to a hospital.
Well, sometimes you hear about people who have done themselves terrible damage, but they didn't really realize it, and so they got up and went...
Sort of scraping off the side of the road.
Oh, my goodness.
Kind of thing.
Okay. So go ahead.
Never mind.
So you were going from...
What I was able to do with my emails to clients and my communication with them was sort of enhanced by the writing, that is to say, writing emails to my clients and keeping in communication with them was also great fun. So when I was down for the count for so long, I sort of resurrected that part of what I enjoyed about teaching. And I have very dormant novels and chapters tucked away in drawers, as probably a lot of people do. It turns out that blogging is a wonderful way to get immediate gratification.
Yes.
And I started...
By the way,
blogging.
Everything about the internet is that.
Yes, true. Not always positive, perhaps.
Oh, well, for sure, yes.
In order for me to start blogging, I just put my toe in the water and then jumped in, really. I up until recently, did not read a lot of blogs. I just felt that this would be a great format for the kind of writing I wanted to do.
Okay, so then the question I have for you is, what kind of writing is that, and what is it you want to say to people?
So that was a very good question, because I think a lot of people of my generation, anyway, think blogging, a blogger blogs about a subject. That was never my intention. I enjoy the process of writing more than I do the topic, actually. But for me, memoir is a lovely way of melding both, I guess. And sometimes I write about travels. Sometimes I write about my family, and most what I'm looking forward to doing now is perhaps a serial. I have a family that is a family background of that's quite mysterious to me on my mother's side.
Oh, that's good to know about, because I think that's true of a lot of us.
Yes.
But I wanted to ask you to clarify something, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
You just a minute ago said people of my generation, and I just want to point out that this is audio only, and you could be 18.
I could be.
We
I'm
don't
19.
Know.
So close.
In terms of your generation, you did say earlier, if I may, that you were born in Oakland, mm-hmm. and that your father and uncle?
Yes.
Were the first two Jewish dentists in Oakland?
That's right.
So that makes you not 18.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's right. Or 19.
Yes. So that's a
my
nice
gig is up.
Long family history, though.
Yes.
On
my father's side.
Yes.
My father's side of the family was more available to me. My mother's side was not. So there were many questions that I have had over the years. But when you lose a parent early, as I did,
oh, I see. Okay,
you don't get those
right.
questions out because you're not the least bit interested
right.
when you're 13.
And how old, when you're 13, you have right. other
I
essential...
Am,
uh-huh.
Yes. So in terms of this blog, I have a... I thought we'll take a field trip. And so on Monday, I went out to the Martinez Historical Society mm-hmm. and its adjacent cemetery, because mm-hmm. I knew that my great aunt, Carrie Halpin, a.k.a. Papinta, was buried there. Turns out she's a glorified stripper. I mean, I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
She's a serpentine dancer, but she's also an icon of Martinez history.
How nice.
So, which is odd. So I was met there by two...
So you've got physical discipline in your genetic
I guess
gift.
So. Although hers involved fans and
no,
feathers
I understand that,
and
but
halogen lamps and great costumes. This was in the 1890s. So I'm thinking about pursuing a little bit of Papinta's history. Turns out, speaking of the internet, that if you Google Papinta,
P-A-P-I-N-T-A,
right?
Okay,
there are people who also have this interest in her. Who these people are, I know not, but I will tell you there's some fabulous photographs of her online. Of course, I own several of them. She's only one piece of this odd maternal side that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it will be an interesting to for me to kind of tease out what I can find about her and perhaps...
About
Papinta. Yes, create a character study of her.
Sure. Now, but what about your mother? How do we get back to...
So my mother died when I was quite young, and I was an only child, I thought, until I discovered that she had a son from a previous marriage. After she died, many years after she died, my father received a phone call saying that there was, in fact, another child, this woman who had to be... My brother was 12 years older than me,
mm-hmm.
had to be older than him,
because mm-hmm.
I had since met him. So there's a lot of missing pieces.
And have you met this woman?
No.
Uh-huh.
No. And then when my... So this character, Papinta, when I was digging around her history many, many years ago, many decades ago, in fact, and when I was in college, I landed upon the name of a cousin that I had never met, whom I had never met.
Mm-hmm.
And this cousin spilled the beans. She told me that, in fact, the woman who I always thought was my aunt was my grandmother.
Oh, my.
And my mother never even knew that her sister was her mother.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
So it's a very unusual, I think, and story to discover about oneself. And that's sort of the end of the line.
But does that make you sad that they didn't know these things about each other and could have had more with each other?
It makes me sad, and it makes me very curious, Janet,
sure.
because I wonder why all the secrecy.
Oh.
Except to say that we are of our time.
Oh, for sure,
you know,
that's
so
true, yes.
Now, anything you say can be out there in 2 seconds.
And you can say anything you want without being embarrassed.
Exactly.
Oh, yes, that's the valuable part, I think,
you
right?
Can. That's
the
exactly
secrets
right.
that people used to feel they had to keep were
that's
just
right.
killers.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think we all feel like a veil is lifted a little bit. But why not create some living history,
yes.
I guess.
So how did you go about doing that now?
So now I am...
Because you're married and you have 2 children, right?
I do. Mm-hmm. And unless I get out a whiteboard and a marker to explain my family, it's hard to keep track.
Sure.
So I find that they are actually listening to me kind of as I listen to my parents. So sort of eyes glazing over because it's a lot to take in. And really, sometimes I think there are 2 camps. There are the people who can't get enough of familial history, and then there's people like me who really wonder what the point is.
I just had a thought when you talked about their eyes glazing over.
Yes.
And yes, I think all parents know that. And by the way, all children know that our own eyes glazed over at things that weren't relevant at the time. And then later, often when you can't ask the questions... You have the questions.
That's true.
And where do you go with it? And this, my dear, is why we should be writing letters. Because when people are gone, let that treasure box be filled with the answers that we want.
I have a letter from 1917 that my father wrote his brother when they were on a train trip. It's as poignant and relevant and filled with lewd comments as any current... email.
How did you come upon this?
You know, the proverbial shoebox.
Really? Okay, that's what I'm saying. Find the treasure box.
It
yes.
is. It's true. Uh-huh. And we now have voices that we can preserve, but we no longer
no,
have
No, we don't.
We don't?
No, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because technology changes every, you know, 30 days. And what you think you put to permanence last year is... or 10 years ago, is not accessible. There's not the machine to play it.
Well, that's shocking.
Well, look at you can't play your Betamax movies.
Yeah,
everything
true.
You had on your floppy disks.
True.
Flush them.
Right.
It's gone.
Right.
It's gone. You can spend time taking it to experts, like taking what you put on the cassette tape that you can also no longer play because we're the machines.
Mm-hmm.
Even your VCRs.
That's
okay,
true.
So now those are you can have them, but if your machine breaks, you don't have a way of playing them because they
true.
Don't sell those machines anymore.
Right.
So you can pray that eBay has. I mean, how long can you go on like that?
Right.
Your CDs. Okay. So the CD machine you have right now isn't going to read the old ones.
Yes, obsolescence.
It's just insane.
Rampant, I guess.
But you have a letter from 1917, and I have letters that are close to 100 years old, also. And they look like they've been written yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It is still the best information storage you can find for this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you sure. can record your voice, but don't count on anybody being able to access it in 2 generations.
Hmm. I've often thought, you know, with home movies, that, well, if I only could hear my mother's voice.
Oh, yes.
But... And then I think of the movies that we have of my kids or the video of my... son's bar mitzvahs.
Well, you can. I mean, you can take them to professionals who will put them on the next step up in how we record things. You know, you can have people take your cassettes and put them on a CD. You'll be
right.
able to do... But if you miss a chunk, you've missed a chunk.
Right. That's
so,
true.
Anyway,
and
go ahead.
And it's the casual exchanges anyway that are so critical that we don't get to
And seeing a letter like that, you can see... where you might not have been able to see so fully before, that you come from a legacy of, you know, comments mm-hmm. and quirkiness, and you're grinning, see, this is why I need
television.
Like that.
Because, I like that idea of a you know, legacy of quirkiness.
A legacy of quirky and sexy mm-hmm. and part of life, not just a bullet point. Yes.
So I
good for you that you got this.
Well, I think, you know, what people like us, I think, who enjoy writing also enjoy reading, and those stories are so... fascinating, and oftentimes you think, well, this could never happen. But in fact, in reality, much more interesting stuff happens,
right?
And so, and when it happens to be your history, maybe I'm tending towards hyperbole, but I really feel that it's a shame that people were so buttoned up.
That's right. And by the way, I come from that myself, and I think that is a matter of the times. There were questions that like my mother would not discuss.
Right.
Couldn't find this out, couldn't find that out. And she was the one, everybody who stays buttoned up, they're the ones who are suffering.
Well, indeed. And my brother.
And feeling awkward and, you know.
Yes. And he suffered because he was a child of a single mother in 1942, 1943. Where do you go? Mm-hmm. There's no daycare for working moms. All you have is your family, pathetic as it might be. And so when my mother remarried and married my dad because she was a patient of his, she had to make a choice according to...
That's right.
I guess according to my reality. I don't know what else it was, but he never lived with us. So somebody had to ask somebody else.
Okay, well, so Chuck, tell me more about what you did find out and about your family and about this letter and why you've written this. I love when people show up with letters.
Thank you. Well, thanks for the opportunity. I when you asked me or proposed a love letter, it's hard to write a love letter to someone who's deceased. But I think I still feel such a strong... the older I get, the more connection I feel to my past.
I'm so glad you said that, because the letters to those who are no longer physically with us, in my world, is a huge... Workshops, and it's a huge chunk of expertise.
That's funny, because I thought you would say, please don't read that.
Oh, no. You know why? Because just because somebody's died is no reason not to keep talking to them.
Okay. Well, I thought this would also be a good way of letting... listeners,
yes,
hear how I write.
Please.
So, here, shall I read it?
Yes,
now?
But you were going to say, you told me before, I'd like you to say again, if you would, why did you write to him?
Oh. First, I thought, I don't want to offend anyone by not writing to them, like one son or another son or my granddaughter or my grandson. You know, I didn't want to choose. I love them all. my husband was too obvious because he is the ultimate love of my life.
Oh, you wrote this after we spoke and that you said you would come and do this?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't really. I thought you brought a letter that you had written to him some... Oh, this is even more delicious.
Is it?
Okay, in a different way. Yes. Okay.
Uh-oh. No. Yes.
Because you're making some good points.
So I thought... Who thinks about... The bottom line, Janet, is I don't think anyone else that I could think of, know of, ever heard of, would have a picture of my brother Michael on their wall. I do. Ever says his name aloud. I do. And now to write a letter is, to me, the ultimate communication.
Yes, it is. Let's hear it then. Okay.
Okay. Dearest Michael, I remember our mother opening up a love letter you sent to her by mistake. The letter was intended for your young wife, and that young woman must have received the one you wrote to Mom. That second sentence, right there, as I've typed it and now reviewing it on my computer screen, takes my breath away. I have never before written the pronoun Mom as I just did. In other words, I never before thought about my mom being someone else's mom, too. Your love letter to your wife, written in 1965, just months before your 26th birthday and received days after your premature death in October of that year, was a tough read. I heard our mother weeping, sobbing, heaving her small chest, and pressing her hands against her damaged heart. I was 13, and in just a few more months, in early 1966, she too would be dead. You didn't live long enough, my dear handsome brother. Neither did she, our mom. For most of my life, I felt as if I had to live life for the two of you, and that is why I'm writing now to say how much I love you and to thank you for the gift of sharing a woman who you barely saw, let alone knew, while I took up 13 years of her life. I love you for giving me that time with her and for allowing me to witness what pure understanding and forgiveness and tolerance and patience look like. That's a tall order for any emerging adolescent to absorb, and it has taken me a lifetime to process. However, I think that becoming a mother myself helped me to fast-track the learning curve. I hope so, anyway. I love you for being my first teacher and my only brother. You were a redhead, as am I. I now have two grandbabies who may continue to carry the redheaded gene pool into the future. You called me kid, and I feel badly that I never had a nickname for you, but I do now. You are my Hugo. Hugo was Anne Margaret's long-suffering boyfriend in that Bye Bye Birdie movie I saw 100 times at the Ream Theater in Moraga, and you were undoubtedly too cool to see. To me, you look just like Bobby Rydell, the actor who played Hugo, and every night I would kiss the album cover I had of his, thinking of him, you, and all the boys I would sometime soon fall in love with. But you were my first love, my only brother, and my mentor. I was too young to understand you, and you were too old to know me. We missed a lifetime opportunity to share an amazing woman with each other. This letter is too late to change that. Perhaps there's an itty-bitty wormhole just big enough for me to blow cosmic kisses through. Maybe the space-time continuum has some sort of Wi-Fi connection from this realm to yours. Could there be a way, do you suppose, that ethereal contact is possible? The kind without the headscarf-clad clairvoyant involved? A girl can hope. At least I still have that album of Bobby Rydell's. I am planting another kiss on that well-smudged cover as soon as I get home. With all my love, your sister, Naomi.
Oh, my! I've got just chills. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. I have some comments. May I?
Yes.
It, just in terms of love letters, I see that you've got it typewritten.
Yes.
And where are you going to send this?
Well, you know, that's, I noticed that you encourage mailing.
Well, because I think a love letter is something that really should, personally.
Yeah.
It's different from a journal, and it's different from blogging, and it's different from a lot of things. I think a love letter needs to appear on someone's stack of mail with a handwritten envelope.
On a silver tray?
Preferably. And I noticed two things on that gorgeous piece of writing that encompasses so much, that there's no date.
Oh, good call.
And there's no signature. Now, handwriting is king, because when you think, you said, I wish I could hear my mother's voice. In my experience, personally, and people I work with, when they find something in handwriting, that evokes the person like nothing else, your own handwriting. It's some kind of, everybody has lucid or bright, nobody's got your handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And when they find this, and they're touching something that you've written, they're touching something that has felt the feel of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
There's a connection that is different and more personal than...
Certainly true.
So that's a long letter to do in handwriting, and maybe you don't feel like it. Although if you did, that's going to be quite a gift for the treasure box. Like the letter you found was in handwriting, right?
Right.
Did that do something special to you, or...?
You know, I only knew my father's handwriting, except for the golf poetry that
I had. But the point is, you knew his handwriting. It was a part of him.
I did.
Right,
I did.
So it evokes... So if you could do one of those in handwriting, just
that's
for your own treasure box, but if you can't, then at least you want to sign it. So maybe sign it and date it in your own handwriting.
I think I'll write the whole thing out.
Great.
Why not?
Okay, so where will you mail it?
Maybe to Bobby Rydell.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
No, I'm kidding.
No, don't be kidding. Because we've had people, encourage that.
Mm.
Oh, yes.
I don't know, is he still alive?
Well, I don't know, but are his children? Sometimes if you can find someone...
Is that his real name? Who knows?
So you have some work to do. Yes, as long as you're looking for sequins, look for that one. May I see that for a minute?
Sure.
So you start out with, Dear Michael, I wonder how you feel about this. I am writing this to you, but I am going to send it to my children.
Hmm.
So they'll know directly some of the feelings I have for you. And then I remember just a little something.
Yes.
And then send it to your children.
Yes. That's a fabulous idea.
Let them keep it in their treasure box. Let your great-grandchildren find it someday.
Do you
on
have,
good paper with indelible ink.
Do you have this often where people write a love letter, but they need guidance as to
that's what I do, yes. You know, in workshops and even just working with people privately. But the issue is, where do you send it to give it the longest-lasting impact?
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing this, Dear Michael, I'm writing this to you, but I'm going to send it to, and your sons' names are?
Nathan and Ellie.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Or my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Or everybody. and then send them copies.
Yes, let's be done with secrets.
Yes, but so they'll have it to find.
Mm-hmm. That's a charming idea.
So it's really a letter that someone's going to find in the mail. And I'm big on looking for descendants. Mm-hmm. I've sent letters and encouraged people to the Bobby Rydells, to people whose work I appreciate, whose work has touched my life in any way, even if it's an album cover you kiss every night. Do you think he would not be thrilled to know this? Mm-hmm. So maybe you can send him a copy with a little handwritten attachment saying, you know, dear Mr. Rydell, you played a big part in my life. I wanted you to know it. You know, love, Naomi.
I'm intrigued. I am.
I mean, if he's still living, you may get something back. And if he's not, you may be able to track down where his children are.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I'm sending this to you because your dad played. However you would do it, you're a good writer.
Oh, thanks.
You know.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. My granddaughter just told me something today that she wrote a letter to Florence Henderson.
Oh.
My granddaughter's 8. Florence Henderson?
Well, that's...
I said, why did you do that?
Yes,
she said,
why?
Because I heard that she writes back to every single letter she gets.
How would she hear that?
Oh, that's a whole other issue. Oh. Yes, there are lots of questions like that, right. And so she wrote her a letter. I've written letters to people whose writing I like, you know, something in the New Yorker.
Yes.
Just because I just was burning to express it. I get letters back. I write to politicians when they've done something great.
And what, do you get a thumbs up on Facebook?
No, I get a letter back. I mean, a real letter.
Oh, my.
I wrote one to Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, come on.
On the birth of her second grandchild. Yes, ma'am. And I've got something on the most beautiful Royal Stationery.
That's
people,
incredible,
because
it
just touches people when they see your handwriting. I know I'm sounding like a crazy lunatic here, but you've got a dismal pile of something every day they call your mail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ads, and it's requests for money, and it's bills, and it's... That's right.
Mail. It's
right.
Very rarely, I was going to say, very rarely thank you notes. Which
every one of those is a love letter, or should be too, yes.
Yes, but it's become, people don't know how to write thank you notes anymore. That could be your spin-off.
Well, that is also a part of the workshops I do. Yes, a good thank you note.
Mm-hmm.
Or a good apology,
right.
Anything.
Right. Because cards and stationery are just so tactile.
Right.
But people don't often take the time.
Well, you know, it occurred to me. I have heard forever. And people say two things. One is that, you know, well, love letters, the art of letter writing, it's a lost art. And then I kind of bought into that. It's a lost art. And then I realized it's not a lost art at all. It's not a lost art. It's just in the hands of fewer of us.
Right. And why?
Because we don't have to, because we've got email and telephones and... but, you know, everyone who gets a letter, in my experience, is so grateful because you thought enough of them to take the time to sit down and do it. And I'm addicted to email, by the way. I love it all.
Me too. But I've recently rethought this thank you note business, because is the thank you note really intended for the receiver or the giver? Because often,
every letter is intended for both.
In the same way, you think?
Well, go ahead. Which way are you saying?
Well, I think sometimes, for those of us who say and don't really believe for a minute, I just want to know that you got it. You know, I sent the baby gift off. I'm not sure that you got it.
Oh, that's a big deal these days, though.
But I really think you want to be thanked.
Right.
If you really want to be thanked, then I think the email is sufficient because it's immediate. It's
yeah. There's nothing wrong with that,
right? And a good email, can,
right? But
can
if
really
that, but if that,
up. But,
yes. But if that thank you note includes a little something about you as a person, you know, thank you for paying attention over the years to what I really love, so that you chose exactly the right gift.
Well, then it's for the receiver,
right?
I guess that's what I mean, because if you're going to, we all get the thank you notes that recount thank you for the
candlesticks,
bracelet.
Right.
I love the color. It's like, I know it's a green bracelet. You don't have to tell me that.
Right.
I gave it to you, for God's sake. But if you could say, I covet the way you wore your bracelet.
That's right. Oh, goody for you.
I love this. I feel that there's a...
That's why a good thank you note is a love letter.
Can be.
Yes. Should be.
Can be. Yes. Yeah. Yes, maybe I'm stuck on the word love because there's,
maybe,
you know, and I think that that's a valid point, because if you're going to thank someone for an interview, thank you, Janet, for having me on, you know, is that a love letter or is that
no,
a
that's
letter?
A, oh, that you're right. Okay, so that's such a good point. So a love letter, the way I look at it, is about the other guy, the other guy's good qualities. And, you know, there are people who send letters and it's all about me, me, me. And that's valid. If there's something you have to say about yourself, why not? Please. But it's not exactly a love letter. If in a love letter, if you want to talk about yourself in a love letter, I think it should take the form of how you feel in the light of someone else's personality. You know, I always feel so graceful when I'm in your presence because you, right. you know, incorporate somebody else's.
Right. Right. Then it's really a conversation, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, and it's something about appreciating another person's qualities. But anything can be a love letter. You know, come into my life, goodbye, leave my life.
Right.
Your truth put to paper, yes.
Right, and I think there's...
Approval of what someone does, like a politician.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's so easy to disappear from one another's lives.
Yes.
And it seems more and more acceptable. You know, kids do it all the time now called ghosting, where they just vanish. You've dated, you've texted, you've... Goodbye. Then they never hear from them again.
But we always did that. We always did that. You dated somebody and life moves on. Then later, 50 years later, you decide to look for somebody or you unghost, I guess. Yes.
Right.
Is that more common now?
I don't know. I hadn't thought of it being... I guess because it has a name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought we used to call it ditching, but maybe...
Or just that life moves on. You know, the very fellow you thought was the most perfect creation ever to hit the earth when you were 16, and then by the time you're 18, you think, what was I thinking?
Yeah,
you've become someone else, and it's time.
Right. That's true.
And then, you know, sometimes years later, you find that person, or you remember having dated that person, and you decide to write a love letter now at the whatever age you are, and say, you know, I was just thinking of you. I know it's 40 years later. But I was just thinking of what a wonderful time I used to have with you when we were kids. I wanted you to know it.
Yeah,
those are great.
Yes.
And
not
you might just, and
recently.
You might just, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me.
I did as a result of the blog. I have, as bloggers do, you have your subscribers, but then just casting my net far and wide, I posted on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And through Facebook, several people from my past that I went to high school with. I was going to say went to high school locally, but who cares? It's
right,
Facebook,
right, so. Right. You could, yes.
In fact, one
from Maine to Guam, relationships stay alive. Yes.
In Singapore that I went to high school
Good.
With. I did
yes.
not, you know. P.S. did not go to high school in Singapore.
Yeah.
He got in touch with me and writes lovely comments.
Oh, and that's one of the beauties of the internet is finding people in your.
It is.
You know, the same one you marched on from.
Yes.
When you're 18, might have developed and grown into something
Who
wonderful,
knows?
And how nice to be able to find that out.
And for me, because I have many friends from my early childhood days, not as a result of the internet, by the way, but by proximity and not really leaving the Bay Area, it's fun because those people who contact me because they read the blog are then connected to my other friends.
Yes,
and
it's a wonderful connective world.
And
even though that is really gratitude to the internet.
Yes.
It's still nice to have something handwritten on your mail pile.
I hear you.
Oh,
I think I have something to do when I get home besides kiss my album.
Yes, I hope you do it. Send it to everyone. Just sprinkle it.
I might
like M&M's at a birthday party.
That sounds even more enticing.
Doesn't it do?
Oh,
thank you,
Janet.
Dear. I'm so glad we met.
My pleasure. Glad we met, too.
For now, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye, and please remember that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, that writing a love letter is a special occasion. And P.S., so is deciding who should get it. Thank you. Goodbye.